Hello, and welcome back to Surgery 101, the podcast series brought to you with the help of the Department of Surgery at the University of Alberta. You can get us at surgery101.org, you can get us at iTunes, you can get us at MedEd Portal, and also at the Canadian Healthcare Education Commons. I thought I'd start off this week answering a question that I get asked quite a lot, which is, why is your podcast called Surgery 101? The first, most obvious answer to this is that it's intended for medical students, so we intend to take a basic approach, and we don't want to get too complicated. It's like an introductory course to surgery. Actually, thinking about it a bit more, there is a second answer as well. And this has to do with the idea of lifelong learning. You might think that when a surgeon gets into practice, they know pretty much everything about their field of expertise. And that's just not the case. I'm constantly learning new things, I'm constantly having what I think I know challenged. And the further I go down the road of being a doctor, in some ways the more I realise how little I know. So for me, Surgery 101 is a way to remind myself that I am a lifelong learner, and that it's good to keep an open mind and go back to basics from time to time. I know I've learned a lot through making Surgery 101, and I hope you're learning a lot from listening to it. This week's episode is the second in our series about the principles of cancer surgery. Last week we talked about kind of general approach and diagnosis. This week we're moving on to talk about staging. So we'll talk about why you would want to do staging on a patient who has cancer, and we'll try and link that up with some of the ideas around how cancer grows and spreads. We'll look at some of the different imaging modalities you might use to stage your patient, and we'll look at some of the different staging systems that are available as well. And we'll finish up by talking about some of the limitations of preoperative staging. So, let's get ready to determine the stage here on Surgery 101. Patient has come in, symptoms are screening, they've had a diagnostic test that's confirmed the diagnosis of cancer, you've got a biopsy report to go on. Why would you want to stage the patient? The purpose of staging the patient is to assess the extent of disease and to figure out the best way to treat this particular patient with this particular cancer. Staging is one of those areas where students can get confused about and can trip up sometimes, so I'm going to take a minute or two to try and explain it in some depth. Think about how cancer spreads. Cancer starts off, we think, with a gene or a number of genes that go wrong in a particular cell. And those genes are probably involved with growth regulation, cell division, control of apoptosis, for instance. And at some point that cell gets out of the normal control of growth, starts to divide too rapidly, and it goes from one cell to two cells to four cells to eight cells, so on and so forth. And eventually a collection of cells forms, which is called a tumour in the primary organ. That's where the primary tumour is, where the whole story starts. At some point those cells will escape from the primary tumour in some way. They may directly invade into other organs or structures that are adjacent to the primary tumour. Tumor cells may also get into the lymphatics around the primary tumor and then move from those vessels into lymph nodes and then to lymph nodes at other places in the body, and they can circulate that way. And then the third way is they can get into the bloodstream and they can travel through the body and land in different places and set up metastatic deposits or secondary tumors. That would be like in the liver or the lung or somewhere like that. If you're thinking about staging, think about that process. Think about those three particular modes of spread. You want to think for the tumour itself, what about local staging? How big is the original tumour and is it stuck to other things around it? For the lymphatic spread, you want to think about regional staging. What about the lymph nodes in the area of the body around the tumour and any of those enlarged? What about that region, regional staging? Thirdly, you want to think about distant staging or staging for systemic spread. So looking in places like the liver or the lung or the brain to see, well, is there any evidence of tumour getting there? Bear in mind, we're using fairly big technology to look for fairly small things. Like, we can't see one cell that's sitting in the liver, we can't see one cell in a lymph node, we can't see one cell circulating in the blood. We're talking about a process where the primary tumour contains millions and millions of cells, and there are probably millions and millions of cells being released into the circulation, most of which don't make it to land in a secondary organ somewhere. So keep that in mind. Current technology is limited, and there are processes happening at a cellular level that a CT scan or an MRI is never going to see. Typically, when we're talking about staging, we're talking about tests that are done in the X-ray department by your friendly neighbourhood radiologist. So think about the different modalities you might use to look at local, regional, and systemic staging. So for instance, for local staging, you might use MRI for rectal cancer, say, or you might use endoluminal ultrasound, say for pancreatic cancer, to look at the tumour itself. For regional staging, you might again use ultrasound or MRI or CT to look at the nodes around the rectum or the nodes around the pancreas or the nodes around the stomach, say, nodes around the cervix for cervical cancer. And then for distant staging, you could use a chest X-ray to look at the lungs. You could look for liver mets with an ultrasound scan of the liver. I tend to be lazy. I just get a CT scan of chest, abdomen and pelvis, and that allows me to look for liver and lung all in the same investigation. So let's say you've got the information back from your imaging tests and you're trying to figure out what stage of disease the patient has. What systems can you use? Medical students always tell me about stage 1, 2, 3 and 4. It's certainly a staging system that I learned when I was a medical student, but I almost never use it in practice. I mean, I'll sometimes say stage 4, colon cancer, when someone has metastatic disease, but I don't use 1, 2 and 3 in normal practice. Stage 1 is kind of early cancer, maybe a small cancer. Stage 2 is a bit bigger. Stage 3 is typically into lymph nodes. Stage 4 is then distant disease. The staging system that I'm most familiar with in practice is TNM, which fits with our local, regional, systemic model we talked about a minute ago. T stands for tumour, N stands for nodes, and M stands for metastasis. So really you're trying to figure out through T staging how big the original tumour is, and typically it goes from 1 up to 4. For nodes, you're trying to figure out how many lymph nodes are involved. So you've got 0, 1 and 2 are the stages. 1 is for a small number of lymph nodes, and the numbers vary, and 2 is for a larger number of lymph nodes. And then M is either just 0 or 1, it's just a binary thing. So M0 means no distant metastasis, and M1 means yes, there is a distant metastasis. So a typical early stage tumour would be T1, N0, M0, small tumour, no nodes, no mets. A kind of middle stage tumour is maybe a T3, N1, M0, so a big tumour with some lymph nodes but not a lot, and then no mets. And then an advanced tumour might be, say, T4. You could have like a T4, N2, M0 tumour, which is very locally advanced, it's T4, but there's no distant metastasis. Or you could have a tumour, say, that's T3, N1, M1, where you've got a fairly advanced tumour with nodal disease and with mets as well. So try and use that system when you're looking at patients who have cancer. There are a variety of different staging systems, and to be honest, it all gets very complicated when you get into the specific staging system for each and every tumour. For instance, for colon and rectal cancer, there's an N1A and an M1B and an N1C, and it gets very complicated. Don't get into that level of detail. Just think, how big is the tumour? How are we staging that? What about the nodes? How are we staging that? And then what about the mets? How are we staging that? Bear in mind that it's often impossible to get completely accurate staging information before the patient goes for surgery. And the reason for this is fairly obvious. The best way to stage a tumour is to take it out and chop it up and have the pathologist look at it in the lab and tell us exactly what's going on. All of these tests that I'm talking about are one step removed from that. So pre-op staging is a little bit unreliable sometimes. You can think something is a T2 and it turns out to be a T3. You think it looks node positive and it turns out to be node negative. But that's the best we have at the moment. Pre-op staging is useful because it can tell us whether someone needs some treatment like chemotherapy or radiation before surgery, or whether they can go directly to surgery. Think about staging. Think about local, regional, and systemic staging. 1, 2, 3, 4 is fine. TNM is better. Tumor, nodes, metastasis. And remember, the purpose of staging is to get an idea of the extent of the disease and to plan any preoperative treatment which is required prior to surgery. That's all for this week. Next week we move on to the cancer surgery operation itself. We always want to hear from our listeners, so please drop us a line at surgerypodcast@gmail.com or leave us a comment at surgery101.org or rate us on the iTunes Music Store or send us a tweet to surgery_101 or join the Facebook group surgery101 on facebook.com. Thanks for listening and we will see you back here again next week. Back on Surgery 101.